Please turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. Nehemiah, chapter 4. Perhaps some of you have seen scenes like this in a film, but maybe some of you don't watch films. Or perhaps you've seen a scene like this on television, but perhaps you don't watch television. Maybe you've seen a scene like this or read about it in a book, but maybe you don't read books. Or perhaps you've seen a picture of this. Perhaps you don't look at pictures. Or maybe you've seen a scene like this in the Bible, but perhaps you don't read the Bible. That was supposed to be a joke. If you have never seen this or read this, can you at least in your mind picture it? A large city with great walls being besieged by the enemy. The enemy is ready to overtake the city. They're climbing over the walls. They're busting through the gates of the city. Perhaps using foot soldiers. Perhaps planes flying overhead and bombing it. Perhaps ships sending targeted bombs into that city. City is being besieged. And there is a cry from the commander of the city. And the cry is, guard the treasure. Guard the treasure. The last thing that we want the enemy to have is the treasure. And hopefully it will never be confiscated. But if it is, we want it to be the very last thing the enemy gets his hand on. Guard the treasure as the walls come tumbling down. Sometimes that treasure was buried or hidden. Sometimes it was a valuable possession or an important significance to it. Perhaps even a person. Guard the king. Whatever that treasure was in that city, the cry comes out, guard the treasure. In the Bible, it's been a repeated scene again and again through Scripture. So many times, especially related to Jerusalem, did the cry come out, guard the treasure, because that city was overtaken so many times. Read about it in Jeremiah 52. The house of the Lord was burnt down, and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and all the houses of the great men, burned they with fire. And all the armies of the Chaldeans that were with the captain of the guard break down all the walls of Jerusalem round about. They carried away captive certain of the poor of the people, and the residue of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away, that fell to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the multitude. Also, the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord were taken, and so on and so on. What a day that must have been. What a sight. I'm sure in the middle of that came the cry, guard the treasure. Let's read about it in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. But it so happened, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant. And he mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. And then if you would go to chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul, in 52 days. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw that these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was done by our God. That this work was done by our God. My cry to you this morning, Mount Zion students, is this. Guard the treasure. If I can say nothing else this semester to you, I would say, guard the treasure. And if you would humor me this morning, I would appreciate you doing another one of my hand motion tricks. When I go like this, Would you shout back to me as if you were a commander in a city being besieged by the enemy? Would you shout, guard the treasure? Let's try it. Yes. May you never forget those words. And as we go through today, I will once again put my arm out again, and I trust you'll be awake enough to respond back to me as if you were the keeper, the commander of that great city, Jerusalem. Guard the treasure. And Mount Zion, guard the treasure. If I was God here this morning standing in, one command that I would give you is, Mount Zion students, don't just guard the treasure. Guard my treasure. You see, there's a difference between a treasure and his treasure. We're not just guarding a treasure. We're guarding his treasure, which makes it even more important for us to do our work of building or rebuilding the walls, even as Nehemiah. I would like to speak to you this morning about Nehemiah's godly wisdom, recognizing the need to rebuild the walls. I'd like to also talk to you about Jerusalem's treasure and lastly, the Christian's treasure. Let's talk about Nehemiah's godly wisdom to guard the treasure. Those of you who have been here long enough, you know that the northern tribes of Israel had already been in captivity. They were dispersed. They were taken away because of their lack of respect for God, their disobedience. But now it was the southern tribes that it was their turn to be taken away into captivity because of their lack of respect for the things of God. And they were sent to Babylon, taken away by the Babylonians. Later, they were overtaken, they and the Babylonians, by Persia. And now it is 70 years after captivity, and they are starting to go back to Jerusalem. They were permitted by the king of Syria to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. Ezra and Nehemiah go first, Ezra being the priest, Nehemiah being a governor, and they rebuilt the temple. And so the temple was rebuilt. Different groups went back and rebuilt their houses, but no walls. There was the temple. There were some houses, but no walls around Jerusalem. And here comes Nehemiah, hearing this message from his brothers that had been there and other people. The walls are still broken down. They're huge boulders, burned structural material, but no walls. And he cries before God. And he asked the Lord for permission to go back, asked the king for permission to go back and rebuild those walls of Jerusalem. It's time to rebuild the walls. Now, why walls? Why did they need walls? What was important about walls? Now, what do you think about when you think about walls? Usually, huge walls are constructed around prisons. And what they do is keep those inside from going outside, from hurting people outside, from doing damage to things outside. And so those walls are meant to keep people in. But usually when you see fortified walls, they're to keep people out so that they don't take what's inside, whether there are people or objects or material possessions. They're a protection, they're a fortification to keep out the enemy. And if there are walls, usually there's something of value inside. Otherwise, why bother building the walls to protect what's inside? It has to be valuable. You understand that. Whether it's a person or there are items or material items or goods or property, you're protecting what's inside. If you go overseas especially, you will see lots of walls. Houses have walls. Businesses have walls. High walls, thick walls. It's very rare that you don't see walls around everything. In fact, I had a visitor from South Africa, a friend of mine, came to visit the United States one time. And I was driving him to a location, and his remark was this, no walls. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, look, every house, no walls, just grass right up to the sidewalk. What's protecting these houses? It was amazing to him to see that so many of our property lines did not have these barriers around them. Well, when we see walls, we probably imagine that there's something inside. When we see guards or security guards, you know, years ago, if you went into a store and there was a security guard in the, at the door, you knew there was something valuable inside, perhaps a jewelry store, gold, diamonds, watches, or perhaps a bank. Nowadays, we have security guards in front of every store. But it didn't used to be that way. You had a guard because there was something valuable inside. And when you go overseas, you see guards in front of a walled building, probably diplomats inside, or the president, or the king, or somebody like that. And so it shows us that there's value somewhere inside of that. Jerusalem had worth within its gates. And Nehemiah recognized it needed to be protected. And unless the walls were rebuilt, that temple was easy game for any other enemy that would want to come and retake it again. Those people, that land. And so he said, we want to build walls. If there's nothing of value, no need to build a wall. And so 444 BC, he initiates the rebuilding of the walls to surround the city. Now, I can't imagine what those walls look like. I tried to look up to find out exactly how big those walls were and how wide and how tall. Unfortunately, no one seems to know. The dimensions are hard to determine, but we know that they were smaller than the previous walls because the quickness of their being built. On the overhead slide, please, you see behind you, maybe, what remains of some of the walls. These were unearthed by folks who did some digging, and you see some parts of the wall that are still remaining. But it had to be bigger than that and taller than that and stronger than that. Thank you. When I think of walls, I think of the Great Wall of China. It wasn't that big. It wasn't that long. When I think of walls, I think of the walls of Nineveh. If you studied about that wall, it was, the walls were so thick and wide that it was like a three-lane passage on the top of the wall. Three chariots could ride up on the top of that wall. It's a pretty big wall. Jerusalem was nothing like that. But still, it protected what was inside. What was inside? What did Nehemiah see to be valuable? First, the temple. As I said, the first thing that was built or rebuilt was the temple. In Malachi 3:1, it tells us that something was going to happen in that temple. Now, I thank Zerubbabel. And I thank Ezra for seeing the need to rebuild. First things first, put the temple there. But why did they bother doing that? I mean, it was just a monument? Just some rallying point? No, they recognized that it was his temple. Now remember, the value comes in the fact that it belongs to God. If it belonged to me, if it belonged to you, it wouldn't matter. But it was God's temple. Listen to what it said in Malachi 3:1. He shall suddenly come to his temple. Did you hear that? It was his. And therefore, it's important for us to recognize anything that belongs to God has worth. It wasn't a pretty sight that they rebuilt. The glory of the temple of Solomon was no longer. And some people cried when they thought what they used to have and they didn't have now. But it made a statement to the Jews, as well as to the surrounding people. They recognize God is our God, and his resting place is right here. That's what it said. Remember what it said about the walls. When they saw the walls, they perceived God must be part of this. It was a testimony to the Jewish people. His presence is here. It was a testimony to those outside. God is back in this place. Guys, be careful. To be connected with God was an important thing. God wanted a relationship with his people. And in order for that to happen in the Old Testament economy, you had to do sacrifices. And unless they had the temple, they couldn't do sacrifices. And if they didn't do sacrifices, they couldn't have a relationship with God. So it meant we need this temple so we can get back in tune with God. through these sacrifices. It also meant that the presence of God would dwell there. He said he would do that. And so if they wanted God's presence, they needed the temple. Now, if some enemy would come, as they did, and destroy the temple, there goes the sacrifices and the relationship. There goes the presence of God. They knew what it was like for 70 years, and they didn't want that again. And so build the temple first, and then put the walls around it. And Song of Solomon, we'll be talking about that later, but many times when the enemy comes and conquers a land, they put a banner, some kind of flag over that territory. It's conquered. This flag says it's owned by this new country. And that temple basically said that. It was like a flag to all around them. This is God's land. This is God's city. This is God's presence. We are Jewish people. We are God's people. You see that? And so to have that destroyed would totally go against that, which happened. So the call came out after the temple was built. What was the call? It's not even after lunch yet, guys. What was the call? What treasure? His treasure. His treasure. How does that make you feel? His treasure. Guard his treasure. Then there was the land. Not just the building, but the land of the city of Jerusalem. It was his land. The ground and all the possessions within it. Listen to Isaiah 14:25. I will break the Assyrian in my land. Not only was the temple God's, but the land around it and everything around it that was on it was God's. Guard it, because it belongs to God. You see, future prophecy had to be fulfilled. In the Bible, it tells us things are going to happen to Jerusalem. It did happen so far, and there's still more to happen. You can't have prophecy with no land. Guard the land. Prophecy has to be fulfilled. He made a statement to the people around. Why are you protecting the land? It's just land. Why are you protecting the buildings, the property, the items, the material? Why are you protecting all of that? Because it's God's, and God has something to do with this land and property still yet to be fulfilled. We need to guard it. A statement to the Jews, a statement to those around them. And so the call came out. Whose treasure? God's treasure. Then there were the people. The temple, the land, and then the people. His people. That's what he thought about them. His people. Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Imagine that. They were going to be a peculiar, a special people, his people. And then in Psalm 135:4, for the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. They were his treasure, and they needed to be protected. And Psalm 103, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord he is God, and that he hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. And so God considers those Jewish people his people. Well, if that's true, if they're his people and they're his peculiar treasure, what should we do? Guard whose treasure? Yeah, not the treasure of the nation next to them. Not because they belong to themselves. They were his people, and they needed to be protected. Put up those walls, Nehemiah said. We have to protect the temple, the land, and the people. And it would be known. It would be known. The people around would know, what's with these people, you know? Why is it so important to protect these people? Because they're God's people. And the Jewish people would have a sense of understanding their worth. Putting around these walls for who? For you! Because you're special people. God says you're his people. You need to be guarded. You need to be protected. Oh, I didn't realize I was that good, that important to God. And then there was the plan of God. His plan, his prophetic will. You see, in that city was to be the coming of the Messiah. Isn't it true? how can you have a coming of the Messiah if there's no city there? For 70 years, they thought, if the Messiah ever came, where would he come? Look, it says in prophecy, Psalms 24, verses 7, 8, lift up you heads, O ye gates, and be lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in the battle. He's coming. How is he going to come? We're here in Booneyville here. The temple is not there. How is he going to come? It says it's going to come to his temple. Build a temple. They got the temple up, but the temple could be destroyed again. Put up the walls. The King of glory has to come. The plan of God must go forward. We need to guard the plan and will of God. Malachi 3:1, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. That was the plan. We have to guard the plan. And so, it would be a statement to everyone around them. They put up the walls. Why? Because something is going to happen in this city, and we need to be ready for it. The commander cried,
treasure.
Whose treasure?
Treasure.
Yeah. Are you getting the importance of this? Do you understand why walls had to be built? Do you understand why Nehemiah was crying in his foreign land? He needed to get back because those walls had to be built because of the treasure of Mount Zion. The question is, did or did not Nehemiah really understand all of this about the plan, the will, the city, the temple? I don't know. I don't know how much he was aware of it. I know he read scripture. I knew he was into God's word. I knew he was a man of God. I know the Spirit of God rested upon his life. Some of it could have been understood, but like so many in the Old Testament, they really didn't understand clearly God's will, God's plan. Didn't matter. It was placed in his heart. You don't have to understand the whole program. You don't have to know every jot and tittle of everything. All you need to do is move in God. And his heart was moved. Guard the city. Guard the treasure. Put up those walls. You might find out later what it was all about. As we know today. Now, that was Jerusalem's treasure. What about our treasure as Christians? Why is it necessary for us to put up walls around what God has done for us? Well, first, we have a temple too. Isn't it true? Who is that temple? Moi. We are God's temple. Doesn't it tell us that? And so it's important for us to guard our lives, to guard our bodies, because we are the dwelling place of God's presence, the dwelling place of his Holy Spirit. You see, his Holy Spirit in us is what convicts us of sin. Isn't it true? We don't have sacrifices anymore, but we need to be in touch with God and confess our sins. Isn't that true? How do we find out that we are in sin? How do we get to God? That Holy Spirit within us convicts us. In this temple, we need to guard that presence of the Holy Spirit, lest we don't have communion with God. And we need to guard the presence of Jesus, the relationship we have with him and he has with us. We are calling ourselves Mount Zion School of Intimacy. I just changed the name. How can we maintain this intimate relationship with him unless we guard the temple? Isn't that true? And so he wants us today to put walls around ourselves so that whatever happens inside of us in that relationship, in that presence and intimacy, it is safe and protected from the enemy around us. As I said, the third years of studying Song of Solomon. And you will study in the future hours that we have together the importance of Jesus and his presence being a priceless treasure. When I was preparing this sermon, I had a spiritual meltdown and almost had another one this morning. I was brought back to the years ago when I used to be in college and I was in the college concert choir, and we would sing great masterpieces of music, especially some by Johann Sebastian Bach, if anybody knows music, and much of his German Christian music. And one of his cantatas and chorales is called Jesu meine Freude. And if you're a German speaking, please, I apologize for my bad German accent. Interpreted literally, it means Jesus, my joy. And as we studied in Song of Solomon the last hour, Jesus is better than wine because he gives more joy than wine. The thing that is the most joyous to you, Jesus brings even more joy than that. Jesus, my joy. But the cantata was translated into English with another title. And the title is Jesus, Priceless Treasure. And every time I sing it, I remember the days when we sang it in German. And when we sang it in English, both the German translation, my joy, and the English translation, my priceless treasure. And I remember what that song meant to me, even in my younger days. Maybe others around me in the choir didn't understand it, but I knew that he wanted to be my priceless treasure, and I wanted him to be my priceless treasure, even back then. And here it's years later, and I feel the same way towards him. He's still my priceless treasure. There's nothing more priceless to me, more of a treasure to me than Jesus himself. I want you to, just for a few minutes, look at the words on the overhead projector. PowerPoint. I can't put them all on, but the writer, whoever it was, really had an understanding. This is what it says. Jesus, you're my priceless treasure. You're the source of purest pleasure. You're the truest friend to me. I can stop. There's so many things right there that I can talk about, but let's go on. Oh, how long in anguish shall my spirit languish, yearning, Lord, for thee. Thou art mine, O Lamb divine. Then watch this next line. I will suffer naught to hide thee. There's nothing I won't go through to build my wall to protect you because you're that treasure. This person, look, who wrote this? I don't know. They didn't go to Mount Zion, but they got it. The importance of Jesus being protected, that relationship, that intimacy with him needed to be guarded and protected. And it goes on to say, in thine arms I rest me. That relationship. Earth and all its depths adore him. Silently bow before him. Next slide, please. Evil world, I leave you. Thou canst not deceive me. Thine appeal is vain. Sin that once did bind me, get thee far behind me. Come not forth again. Get those walls built. Enemy, keep out. Past thy hour, O pride and power. Sinful life, thy bonds I sever. Leave thee now forever. Hence, all thought of sadness, yea, whatever we here must bear, still in thee lies purest pleasure. Jesus, you're my priceless treasure. Nothing else matters. No trial, no tribulation, no sorrow, no difficulty. Nothing matters. Guard the treasure. And you know, since that meltdown, it seems like every song I read, every hymn I hear, every chorus that's been sung, there's a line in there, Jesus, treasure, my treasure. We are his treasure. He is our treasure. And how important it is for us to do something about it. Who is the treasure?
Jesus.
I asked a different question. You weren't listening. Who is the treasure?
Jesus.
And he is whose treasure? Our treasure. Our treasure. We must guard them. 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Isn't that amazing? And you know, once they see the value of that treasure in us, the world will take note of that, won't it? They'll see there's something different about you. There's something that you have that I don't have. There's something that you hold on to, something of great value that I wish I had. What is it? It's Jesus. The priceless treasure. How will they know? Because we're saying, you know, we have a priceless treasure. No, they'll see by our walls. And we'll discuss later the walls. When they see the walls around us, they'll have to say, why do you build walls around you? Because of the treasure that I don't want to lose inside of me. And then not only is our treasure the temple, but it's also the land, our possessions. Everything we have is God's. Did you know that? Everything we've received is from God and it is God's. It's for his good. There was a Bible school student that asked me one time, how do I become more liberal in my giving? Not just money, but in just everything. Just become a more liberal giver. And he said, you know, I pay my tithes and I do, but I think I need to be doing more, but I just sometimes feel like I need to hold on to things. How do I get out of that? I said, you get out of it by recognizing nothing is yours. It's all God's. So if this is God's, and he says, right now, give this Bible to so-and-so. Guess what? It's his decision. It was his. He let you borrow it. Now you're going to let someone else borrow it. It just changes hands. If you didn't have it, you couldn't do it. So he gave it to you so you could have it, so you can give it away. As long as we start thinking anything is ours, then we have to make the decision whether we should give it or not, or do it or not, or bless somebody or not. And so his, everything that we have is his. But how many of us don't guard or value those things that are ours, that he has blessed us with, that he has put in our possession? We spend it. We give it away. We abuse it. Isn't it true? You know, we hear even our new president say, we've been living foolish lifestyles up to this point, and we all need to change our way of living. We can't keep doing the same things we've been doing. We can't be charging cards like we've been charging and spending money like we've been spending and abusing things that just taken for granted that we are a blessed country. Isn't it true? And because we don't value it, guess what? We get into the fix we're in now. Listen, those things that are God's, we need to value. And we need to value it. Not only is this temple God's, not only are the possessions or the land ours, I mean God's, but also the people are God's. We need to value one another, and we need to value ourselves. We need to value who we are because of Christ Jesus and what he's done for us. Do you value God's work in your life, as we heard this morning? Do you value what he's brought you through, what he's brought you from? How he's changed you and the plan of God that he has for you. Do you value that? Do you value each other here? Or are there people who condemn or criticize or rebuke? No, we need to respect one another and value each other. And as we value each other, the Bible says they will know us by our what? They will notice on the outside. There's a different crowd of people. There's a different crowd of people. And if we are special people, then we need to what? Because it's his treasure. Each one of us are his treasure. And may God help us not to abuse, hurt, or some way offend his treasure. Then there's the plan of God for our lives, as well as the eternal plan of God. God has a plan for each of us, and each of us fit in his eternal blueprint for all of eternity, his kingdom. And so we need to value that. How many of us don't value God's plan for our life? We do what we want to do. We act as if we are in charge. We can go, we can do, we can say, we cannot do, depending on our decision, you know? No, our plan is made by God. It's his treasure. His plan for eternity is important, isn't it? And therefore we need to what? God the treasure. The plan of God for our lives as well as others. Well, the walls went up and surrounded the city of God, Mount Zion. And everything in it was to be separated unto God. Everything was holy. Not just a few things. Everything was God's. The people, the land, the temple. So everything was God's, and everything needed to be set aside as holy unto the Lord. Sometimes we value certain things in our life. We value the presence of God, and then we abuse the things that he gives us, or we hurt other people, or we don't take seriously God's plan for our life. You know, everything that is God's needs to be guarded. We don't let the gate open in one area and closed in other areas, because guess what? The enemy comes in no matter. Every gate is to be shut. Every wall is to be lifted up high. One time I conducted a wedding in this church. It was an Episcopal church. And not being too familiar with Episcopal ways, I'm sorry, that I'm not so well versed in every religion, There was a table next to the pulpit, and I guess it had been used for the chalice and the bread when communion would be served, and it had a linen cloth over it. And so it was in the way. And so we just said, well, let's move the table. So we moved the table, and I picked up the linen cloth like this, and I started falling, and all of a sudden the priest came in and said, whoa, 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 whoa. He was very upset with me. I said, what happened? Wait a minute. And excuse me, I have to put the mic down. He said, you have to do it like this. Picked it up, said a prayer, then folded it once, said a prayer, then folded it twice, said a prayer. It was holy, holy linen. Now, I'm not condemning sacred areas of, but you see, you can have holy linen and it has to be done a certain way, but the rest of the church, the rest of your Christian life, everything else is unto God knows what. No, it's all holy. Amen? Not just the linen, not just the area of your life that you want to separate unto God. Every part of our lives is unto God. Amen? Christians often forget the value of their treasure. The Jews were suffering from a lack of respect. That's what got them into captivity. And then when they came back, so many were beaten down by slavery and exile that they still didn't value the things of God as much as they should. Some were intermarrying. Others were building their own houses first. They didn't think about the temple. Last thing they were thinking about was walls. No, we got to think first about ourselves. The walls were later, maybe not even at all. I was at a Bible school recently, and a student came over to me and said, I need some guidance. I'm not sure what I should be doing. I said, what are you saying? He said, I feel the call to go to full-time missions. He said, I've gone overseas in missions. I've spent a year overseas in missions, and I really feel this is what God wants in my life. And I even am a missions major. I said, wonderful. I said, what's the problem? He said, well, I have a girlfriend. And my girl doesn't feel the same way. She feels she should stay in the United States. She feels that she should live in suburbia. And she doesn't want any part of missions. She doesn't want any part of overseas, any part of, you know, rough life or anything like that. What should I do? I said, you need me to tell you? Guard the treasure. If this is what God is saying to you, if this is God, what God's plan is for your life, if you are separated unto Him, guard the treasure. Stop the breaches in the wall. Shut those doors. Do you need more information? Do you need more counsel? Do you need to pray more about this? You know. Guard the treasure, friends. Can you see the correlation for causes why some Mount Zion students fall away or fall short after they leave from here? Oh, the comment may be, do they? Yes, they do. Don't tell anyone I said that. You know, I'm on Facebook like many people are on Facebook. I can't believe those are the same students that sat in my class holy unto the Lord, you know. What happened to them? Some of the things they say, some of the pictures they post, some of the ideas they have. And I watch them, I bunk into them, you know, through life. I travel a lot and I meet Mount Zion students everywhere. What happens? I'm not saying all of them, thank God. I'm not saying the majority of them, I'm not saying that, thank God. But what causes people to sit in this pew, holy unto God, and then get into stuff like that? They didn't build the walls. They didn't think about the walls. They didn't guard the treasure. Ezra, Zerubbabel, Nehemiah realized first things have to come first. We need to guard the treasure. It'll make a difference in the lives of God's plan, God's people, God's presence. Everything will make a difference. In fact, the whole world will be affected by me building my walls. Not just myself. We need to cry to each other one more time. Please. Just in case the ladies didn't hear it, men, say it louder.
Guard the
and we know men are not listening, so women, you say it.
Guard the
Who are you saying it to? Were you saying it to yourself? Were you saying it to yourself? That cry needs to be cried not just during the siege. It needs to be cried before the siege. Did you hear me? We don't make that cry after we get out there. Put up the walls quick. No, we cry it here while we're still building walls. Get those walls up before I get out there. Before the enemy comes. Before I'm besieged by the enemy. Three observations in conclusion. I'm not advocating a fortress mentality. Do you know what that means? Stay in my closet. Keep away from the world. Have a friend who dislikes the song, the hymn, "Hold the Fort for I Am Coming." He said, all that is a fortress mentality. Stand there, protect yourself. I'm on the defense. You know, don't do anything bad to me. Please don't hurt me hard. You know. He said, we need to be out there, and we do. So I'm not advocating building walls around yourself and hiding. We need to get out in the world. We need to win the world. I'm a missions person. Remember that. The last thing I'd want you to say is lock yourself in your closet and protect yourself. But the walls go with us. Don't you understand the difference? We don't live behind human walls. We don't live behind closet doors. We carry these walls with us, so wherever we go, we're protecting the treasure. Do you see the difference? And may God take us to the ends of the earth, but guarding what he has done for us. David, other leaders in the Bibles, they were examples. Going out of the city of Jerusalem to conquer. And not just hiding behind the walls. Second observation. It did not take long for those walls to be built. Did you read that? We read it. 52 days. Massive walls around a whole city. 52 days they were built. It didn't take a whole 3 years for the walls to be built, first, second, and third years. It didn't take one whole semester for the walls to be built. Did you hear that? You don't have to wait until the end of April for those walls to be built. Not even a week. 52 days. You can start building those walls now if you haven't done so. And have them finished before you ever think of fighting the enemy. Third observation. And it's a sad commentary. There were those who still lived outside the walls after they were rebuilt. Here was Jerusalem. Here was all the treasure. Here was the protection around all the treasure. And there were those still outside the walls saying, I don't want to move in that city. It's too confining. I mean, I have a lot of land out here, you know. And I don't want to have to wait for the gates to open every morning before I can go out for my jog, you know. I want to be out here where I can do and go and jog and run anytime I want, you know. I don't want to have to listen to people who are going to tell me what to do in the city. I don't want to have neighbors so close to me. I want to be a free guy, you know. I just want to do my thing. I'm going to live outside the city. And there may be some of you out there who just, even though you see the walls, don't think you need to be behind them. Because it's not necessary for you. You're past that. I promised that I would tell you what the walls were. The walls today are not brick and mortar. The walls today is a consistent, intense prayer life. The walls today are consistent, devotional, and Bible reading time. The walls today is a time of accountability with someone or someone's and counsel. The walls today, disciplined life. The walls today, hungering after more of Jesus. You see, all of those things you can take with you, and you need to. Because if it's behind these walls of Mount Zion, these huge gates that don't open but every so often, you know, only deer can get in, and God help them if they try, you know. After you're outside of these walls, what's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to God's treasure? May you build those walls now while you're here. And may you build them strong, fortified, permanent, so that they don't fall and the enemy doesn't come in. Guard the treasure. For closing this morning in prayer, take the advice from Nehemiah. Nehemiah realized that you couldn't build these walls by yourself. Although you might attempt to do it, it's just rough. It's a big city. It's a lot to protect. And so he assigned people and he said in groups, you built this part, you built that part, you built this part. Together, work together, work together. Drop your house building, all your chores, all your activities, everything else you have to do, everything else that's important to you. Stop. For 52 days, night and day, we're going to dedicate ourselves to the wall. And the ladies that are not helping to build the wall, you're going to help with the food. Bring the food. We're not even going to change our clothes. Except maybe to wash them, he says, because it's so important. And we're going to carry a lamp. And we're going to, you know, his plan was togetherness. We're going to do this together. And this morning, you can't do it by yourself. You need Mount Zion. You need the faculty and staff here to help you build these walls. But you also need one another, because your wall is attached to the next person's wall. And so what I want you to do this morning in closing is to stand and find three people, you being one of them. And one of you pray in that group of three that the Lord may give you all that is necessary to build those walls to secure the treasure in his city. Would you stand with me? They don't have to be long prayers, just intense heart prayers. Guard the city, Lord, through the workings together of each other. We're going to pray that those walls are built. Let's pray.